evening, everyone. We're going to start with a time of singing, as we always do. So let's stand, and we'll start with 562, Rejoice, Ye Pure in Heart. After this, we'll be taking some requests. But we'll just sing all the verses of 562.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart, rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. With all noblest mirth, rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Yes, on through life's long path, still chanting as we go, from youth to age, by night and day, in gladness and in woe. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Still lift your standard high, still march in firm array, as warriors through the darkness toil, till dawns the golden day. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
All right, thank you. You may be seated, and we'll take some requests. Oh, 199. Okay, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim. You were listening on Friday, apparently. 199. Did Jim request specific verses? Did he specifically request any verses? Just whatever we want. Okay. Why don't we do odds? 1, 3, and 5.
Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. 5 bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary, they pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. My God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child, I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, with confidence now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father, cries.
379? Okay. Okay, why don't we do life, hands, will and love. So 1, 2, 5, and 6. 1, 2, 5, and 6.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever
All right, we better do all three of these. It took a miracle. 524.
My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Here, here His glory has been shown. Holy, see the wonders of His might, His throne. 'Twill take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made Bible tells us of His power and wisdom always through, and every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace.
341. Alright, let's sing the first and last, 341. Close, we'll stand and do 382. And we stand and sing the first and last verse of Be Thou My Vision, 382.
Done fine, Leslie, just fine. Sharps? What sharps? I didn't see any sharps. I wouldn't know what a sharp from a flat. All I know is when the black dots go up, you're supposed to go up. Is that about right? How much is up to you? There you go. They learned me that in seminary. Seminary. Oh, boy. Fun times at Fellowship Bible on a Sunday night. Where are you going to get this kind of fun, huh? Dale, what's happening back there? You good? Them girls doing all right? You see them today? Did you give them a hug from all of us? Good deal. What's going on? Anybody have a... Did you guys learn anything helpful on Friday night? Some of you guys needed that. Yep. That was fun. What's going on, though? Anybody have a testimony, praise, prayer request? Now's your chance. What was that? I have a birdie in here. Nobody? Man, fantastic. I need all the time I can get. Going, going, gone. Let's pray then. Father, we are grateful for the time to be together again tonight and just the joy that we do have. And Friday night was a blessing. Thank you for that and just the opportunity to have fun together as couples and as families. Thank you for all the work that went into that evening, making it happen. It really was a night to remember, as they called it. But thank you for that. Thank you for Ron and Joyce and their ministry. Just bless them, Lord. Continue to give them strength and safety even this week as they're traveling. But thank you for today and just this opportunity again tonight to be together, fellowship and sing and study your word, Lord. You're so good to us, and we just are so grateful for the way you're at work in our lives and in our church family. Thank you for the ministries of this church and just the way each person contributes, Lord, in their unique way based on how you've gifted them and placed each of us in the body. We thank you for that. We see that and we just rejoice in that. Pray that we would continue to grow in unity and in maturity and in fruitful ministry and bring glory to you. You're so worthy. We thank you for the privilege of being your people, being your church here in this place, and representing you and serving you and being a light in our community. And just thank you for the opportunities to do that. We pray for even this week, just joy and strength and just blessing, protection. But thank you for that. Thank you for this time to look again at 2 John. We just pray you would guide our thoughts and make the time profitable. Help us to learn from this letter what you have us to, and give us wisdom by your Spirit to apply these truths to each of our lives. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're looking at 2 John. We started it last time. I want to wrap it up tonight. This is one of the New Testament postcards in the Bible. 2nd, 3rd John, Philemon, Jude. These are the little ones. Philemon, you could call it maybe the book of forgiveness. Jude, you could maybe call that the burglar alarm postcard. 2nd, 3rd John have to do with hospitality. Very practical issue in the church. Knowing when and to whom to show fellowship and support. So we're looking at 2 John, and the question kind of comes up, how do you balance truth and love? In 1 John, that was a big thing. We learned the importance of that, both of those two things. We must love one another. That's the distinguishing mark of all true believers. But we must also walk in the truth, and that includes believing the truth, believing the right things, but also practicing the truth. And when it comes to doing that, we must be uncompromising and unwavering. But what do we do when truth and love seem to collide and conflict with each other? What do we do when our allegiance to the truth seems to conflict with the command to love? Well, in 2 John, we come to a kind of a specific case where that potentially can happen, a real life scenario dealing with this issue of hospitality. That was a very practical issue, as we talked about last week, in the life of the early church. Hotels were non-existent. Inns were more like brothels, very unclean and unwholesome environment. So when Christians traveled, whether it be for business or for ministry, they would typically stay in the homes of other Christians. And likewise, would that be true of missionaries or the apostles, for example, or itinerant preachers and teachers? They would stay in homes. Usually a church met in someone's home, and often that home would be large, would be spacious, and would be able to accommodate those who traveled around. And the host, whoever hosted the church in their home, would usually also host whatever visitors might be coming through. So hospitality was a huge part of life in the early church. And it's very clear in the New Testament that we are to practice hospitality. Romans 12:13 says that. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have potentially even entertained angels without knowing it. So this is a very important part of our life as believers. But the question comes, where do you draw the line? You know, out of love, do you open your home to any and everyone? Or out of fear, do you close your door to everyone? And so John deals with this very practical issue by saying, let truth be the guide. Let truth be your guide. You're not obligated to love without bounds, because you have a responsibility to the truth as well. So after a brief look at the introduction last time and the conclusion, verses 1 to 3 is the introduction and 12 and 13 the conclusion, we said the main body of the letter, verses 4 through 11, can be divided in two parts, two points, really, two principles. The first one in verses 4 to 6, do you remember what it was? As you practice, or as you walk in the truth, I think we said, practice love. While you're walking in the truth, practice love. Because in verse 4, he commends them, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we've received commandment to do from the Father. So he says, I recognize that you're walking in the truth. Verse 5, now I ask you, love one another. So basically he says, you know, I've seen that you affirm sound doctrine and you're walking in the truth about Christ and all of that, and you have a good handle on that, but I want to make sure you love each other, that you're practicing love as well. And so he talks about the importance of love, and sort of in one verse, verse 6, summarizes much of what he said in 1 John. And we compared that with Ephesians 4:15, where Paul says, truthing in love, or speaking the truth in love. We have to do that. We have to hold to the truth and do the truth and proclaim the truth and speak the truth in love, which implies that you have to be involved in ministry. You have to be involved in the context of a local church where you can be around other people, because you can't practice love without other people. So you can't just burrow up in a monastery somewhere and devote your life to the study of Scripture, because you have to do the truth in love. And that requires being involved in other people's lives and ministry. So that was John's first burden to communicate that in this letter. Practice love while you're walking in the truth. The second principle then comes in verses 7 and following. This is really probably the main point of this little postcard. And so the principle number one is, while you're walking in truth, practice love. The second principle would be, while you're practicing love, guard the truth. Guard the truth. And we see that in verses 7 through 11. Let me read it for you. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God, and the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. So here we see the flip side, okay? While you're practicing love, guard the truth. We have, as believers, an obligation to the truth. Truth matters. And frankly, nothing matters more than truth. Truth is the most important, the most valuable thing in the world. What do we have if we don't have the truth? But we do have it. And the value of it is why the truth is constantly under attack, because you counterfeit things that are valuable. And so John just is saying, look, as we practice love, we also have to guard the truth. In 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul said, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. In 2 Timothy 1:13, he said, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. So he says, he's saying the truth of the gospel is a treasure, and it has been entrusted to us, and we are stewards of it, and we must guard it. We must retain the standard of sound words. And we have to do that individually. Obviously, preachers and teachers and elders in a church must do this, but we must do it individually, and we must do it collectively as a church. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul said, in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. What is the church? What is the church of the living God? Why are we here? What is our function in this world? It is to be the pillar and support of the truth. And if we don't do that, who's going to do that? Right? What entity, what organization, what institution on earth is going to be the pillar and support of the truth if not the church? If we get sloppy with the truth, if we neglect the truth, if we don't teach the truth, if we say, well, doctrine divides, let's just love each other and let's just get along with everybody, what's the big deal? Then we cease to be the church. So, while you're practicing love, guard the truth. Now, you may say, well, how am I going to do that? I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. What can I do to guard the truth? So, let's look at what he says here. I think there's some practical things here that would apply to all of us. First of all, to guard the truth means that we have to recognize and avoid false teachers. We have to recognize and avoid false teachers. Verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So the first thing is to recognize that. False teachers, deceivers are prevalent. Many have gone out. And gone out could mean gone out of the church. But here it probably just means gone out, just like the apostles and true messengers of Christ went out, right? Just as the gospel, the truth, goes out into the world, so does error and false teaching go out into the world, and it goes out in many forms. And we saw that this morning, Jesus' warning in Matthew 24, where he said, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Matthew 24:11, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Many have gone out, and they're prevalent all over the world, all throughout time, along with the wheat. The enemy comes in and sows tares, and this continues till the end. In Matthew 7:15, Jesus called them wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul, in Galatians 2:4, called them false brethren. In Acts 20:29, savage wolves. In 2 Corinthians 11, false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, servants of Satan. Jude called them hidden reefs in your love feasts, clouds without water, autumn trees without fruit, wild waves of the sea, wandering stars. In other words, you're out in the ocean and you're charting your way and you're using the stars, right? And then all of a sudden there's the star that wanders. It doesn't do what the stars are supposed to do and it misleads you. And that's what false teachers do. And they follow after their own ungodly lusts. They're worldly minded men. Second Peter, Peter says false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So all through the New Testament, we have these warnings, don't we? Many false teachers have gone out into the world. And we have to recognize that. We have to learn to recognize who they are, even in our own day, by how they live and by what they teach, what they say. That's why John said what he did in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And he said, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not is not. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. So the same point he's making here. So to guard the truth, you first of all have to recognize, be able to identify based on their doctrine, based on their living, false teachers, who they are. And one of the things you can look for, maybe the first thing, the clearest, simplest place to look would be just their doctrine of Christ. What do they say about Jesus? Is he fully God? Is he fully man? Was his death sufficient to pay for our sins? Is it enough to believe in him for salvation? In this particular case, notice verse 7, the deceivers were those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. They denied, interestingly enough, the humanity of Christ. They denied the incarnation, that God became flesh. And John calls that what it is. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. This is the agenda of Satan. And will be to the end. Will be when the final Antichrist comes. His agenda is to undermine the full person and work of Jesus, including his full humanity. So, to spot a deceiver, to identify a false teacher, check out their view of Christ. But recognizing them is only half of it. John says you need to know that they're prevalent and there are many that are out there, but you also need to avoid them. Verse 8, watch yourselves, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Watch yourselves means be on guard. Right? Don't be deceived by these deceivers. Why? Well, two reasons. Number one, that you not lose what we have accomplished. What is he talking about there? He's not saying we could maybe lose our salvation, but he's saying you might lose ground spiritually. He's concerned that they not slip backwards. As an apostle, he's been faithful to teach and shepherd them and guide them and help them to make progress in their faith and in their walk with the Lord. And his concern is that that effort might be in vain, that they would walk away from that and thus fall into all kinds of mischief and all kinds of folly. Paul talked about that as well, the fear of having labored in vain over people that he ministered to, that initially responded to his teaching, but then maybe got caught up in some false teaching. So that's his first concern, that they not lose ground. And the second is that they receive a full reward. God rewards faithfulness, our service in this life, our deeds done in the flesh. And how tragic would it be to lose out on your full reward by being unfaithful? 1 Corinthians 3 talks a little bit about that. You could be saved, but as by fire, as through fire. You know, you get to heaven, but you smell a whole lot like smoke. All the hairs are singed off your body, you know. So, you don't want that. And Paul says, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. The loss of reward. So that's John's concern here. So to guard the truth, we first of all, we need to recognize and be able to discern and avoid false teachers. And that's something that we all have to pay attention to and be wise about that. Secondly, to guard the truth means to not go beyond what is written. Don't go beyond what is written. Verse 9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So the idea of going beyond something, and the word here, you know, it's translated goes too far, but it just kind of means to go on ahead. You ever have children that were just constantly going on ahead? And you're trying to hold their hand and say, wait a minute, we're going to get to that, but right now we're here. Let's slow down a minute. Never content to just stay with you and walk at your pace and hold your hand and do one thing at a time. Kids are like that. And people are like that too. It's human nature, I think, to go beyond, to go too far, to rush on ahead. Where did that start? It started in Genesis 3 in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Going beyond where they should have gone, going too far. And even before that, it started with Satan, not staying in his proper domain. And the heretics in 1st and 2nd John, and probably all false teachers in some measure, do this. They go beyond. They claim to have more. They claim to know more. They claim to have gone on ahead of everybody else in the pack. We've found something new. We've discovered something better, something beyond the rudimentary things you simpletons are content with. The higher life, the deeper truth. That's what John is talking about. Going on ahead, going beyond. And beyond what? Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ. They go beyond the teaching not the teaching about Christ, but the teaching of Christ. Christ's teaching, what he himself taught personally and through his apostles. They go beyond what is written into Scripture, in other words. Someone observed, do the math. All false teaching either adds to the Scripture, subtracts from the person or work of Christ, multiplies the requirements for salvation, or divides a person's loyalty between Jesus and them. And that's right. 2 Timothy is a good reminder of this same principle, not going on ahead. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, Paul said, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. What a great principle. Just continue in the things you've learned and have become convinced of, and consider from whom you've learned them. And in Timothy's case, you know, it would be Paul primarily in view there. I mean, you have respect for Paul and his teaching. Well, continue in those things you learned from him. Or verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training, and so on, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So continue in that. See, the Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for everything you need to be equipped to do everything God wants you to do. So don't run off and leave that. Don't wander away from that. You have known those things from childhood, the Old Testament Scriptures and the teaching that you've heard from Paul and others. Just continue in that. Don't go on ahead of that or beyond that. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul issued a similar kind of a exhortation. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Hold to the traditions which you were taught. What a great thing, you know. And the word here kind of has the idea of I learned it as hand-me-downs. Hold on to the hand-me-downs. What's been handed down to you? Hold on to that. Stick with that. Treasure that. Don't run off and leave that. That's where you need to stay. It's not talking about the traditions of men. It's talking about the teaching that they heard orally or by letter from Christ and from the apostles. Hold on to that. Don't let somebody come along and say, oh, you guys are still studying Ephesians and Colossians and Romans. Oh, come on. This work that the Holy Spirit is doing, that Christ is doing, we've moved on way past that. No, we haven't. You hold on to those hand-me-downs. In chapter 3, verse 8, same thing. 3:6, I'm sorry. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. So, sticking with the tradition of what you've been taught, that's wise. That's safe. Now, why is going beyond or going too far so dangerous? Well, back to verse 9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. See, that's the problem. Those who go too far go beyond God. You go outside the Scripture, you go outside of having God. You may be popular, you may have a large following, you may have secret insights that nobody else has, you may have lots of money. You do not have God. If you deny the Son, then you forfeit the Father. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And you see this. This is typical, right, of false teaching cults. They claim to have God, but they deny Christ. John says they're wrong. They don't have God when they deny Christ. So one thing you can do to guard the truth is just abide in it. See? Don't go beyond what is written. Don't go beyond what is revealed in Scripture. You have the truth. Abide in it. Don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of false doctrine. Continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of. That doesn't mean you can't grow in your knowledge of Scripture, your knowledge of theology. It just means you ought to stick with reliable sources and trustworthy teachers, and don't be jumping on every new bandwagon that rolls by. Third, we can guard the truth by not supporting dubious ministries. Don't support ministries that promote error. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or the house, and do not give him a greeting. So this is where love has limits. This is where we begin to form the boundaries for our practice of love. Hospitality is a vital ministry of love, loving strangers. But our hospitality, our right hand of fellowship, our greeting, our receiving others into our fellowship, into our house. And here, the house is probably the house in which the church meets, which also is the host to these travelers. But if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, the teaching of Christ, do not receive him, do not even give him a Christian greeting. Very strong admonition here. And this isn't talking about unbelievers. It isn't talking about unbelievers. It isn't talking about believers who believe differently than we do. This isn't talking just generically about other Christians or even non-Christians. This is talking about teachers, okay? Missionaries, preachers, evangelists. How do we know that? They come to you bringing. See, so they're bringing a teaching. So it's talking about those who teach, those who preach, and not showing hospitality to them. And anymore, you know, they can come to you in a lot of different ways besides showing up in your building. They come to you through the radio, the TV, the internet, books, all kinds of literature. And so, you know, you might not ever have an opportunity to show hospitality or greet them personally. So the principle would be, don't support them in any way. Why? Well, verse 11, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. And that's kind of a frightening thought, isn't it? So now you're guilty of helping him spread lies. You support that ministry, you greet that person as if to affirm what they're doing, then you extend hospitality to them or whatever, then you are participating in their work, which John calls evil. Evil deeds. You don't want to do that. So even though you are likely to be labeled unloving, even though you're likely to be labeled intolerant, you must guard the truth. Truth matters. That's the message here. While we are walking in the truth, we need to practice love. But while we're practicing love, we need to be careful to guard the truth as well. Truthing in love, loving in truth. That's the message of this little postcard. We must practice the truth without being unloving. And we must practice love without being untruthful. And sometimes that takes a lot of wisdom, doesn't it, to be able to do that. Our love grows soft if it is not strengthened by truth. And our truth grows hard if it is not softened by love. So that's the balance. Jesus was full of loving kindness and full of truth. And that is the standard for us as well. Let's pray together. Father, we do need your wisdom to do that, to balance truth and love. We want our love to be guided by the truth, and we want our truth to be motivated by love. So work this out in us. Thank you for this church that is, I think, very sensitive to both of these things and faithful to kind of walk the line, but cause us to care about the truth and to recognize our responsibility to guard the truth, and each of us individually to be discerning and to support only those ministries that are truly biblical and proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Thank you for just the clarity and the practicality of the instruction we have in the scripture, and Lord, just the safety of being able to say, we're going to stick with these hand-me-downs. We're going to stick with what's been entrusted to us, what we've learned from those we trust. Help us to do that. And help this younger generation growing up, even in our church, to do that, to see the wisdom of just holding to the traditions, the things they've been taught. And thank you that the standard is your word, and we can all go back and look at that and continue to recalibrate, but let that be the standard and nothing else. Thank you for that. Dismiss us now with your blessing on our food as we eat together in fellowship, and just safety as we part tonight. We pray in Christ's name.